high privilege of gospel blessings. Verse 12 of Romans chapter 11 says, "Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Israel's witness for God has been set aside because they rejected the gospel." They have rejected the Messiah. The good things that God brings to us, to know Him, to know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greatest knowledge that we can have. And Israel was entrusted by God with His words, the very oracles of God. And yet, Israel has rejected their Christ. It is said to be given so much of spiritual privileges and yet not appropriating it. You would notice how the gospel must be passed down from one generation to another to another, and how important it is that there will not be a situation when the gospel would be rejected. But you would see in the witness of Israel how they have rejected their God. We can have much privilege that God gives us, and yet we can lose the great privilege that God has accorded us. Because the Jews rejected God, the gospel was given. Salvation came upon the Gentiles. And with it, the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus was accorded to them. It is our high privilege that God's grace comes to the Gentiles. That we have the privilege to know God, to be partakers of the blessings of God through Abraham. Such great blessing of God's provision, of God's protection, of God's presence with us. How we need to cherish it. And how it is so easily spurned as we review biblical history. The Apostle Paul witnessed to the European continent. He saw in a night vision a man from Macedonia bidding him to come. And he was forbidden by the Spirit of God to go north to Bithynia. And so he went west into Macedonia. And there in Macedonia, he met a woman by the river by the name Lydia. She was a businesswoman. And how God opened her spiritual eyes. She was gloriously saved. And her family. God was gracious. And the gospel from there extended from the home of Lydia. The church was built from that humble beginning by the river, when God opened the eyes of this one lady. From the European continent, the gospel was extended to America and to Asia. It's interesting that as we read church history, we see the awakening in Europe during the time of the Reformation, and there were revivals that took place in the various nations in Europe, and how that revival came to America through men like George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards, and how that revival came to China through the man Dr. John Sung in the early 1930s. How the Lord used the Christians in Europe to raise a witness. How the Lord used the Christians in America to raise a witness. How that witness spread to Asia. And now how the Lord would use the witness of the revived Asians, the Chinese in China, 100 million of them, to be his witnesses. How the Lord gave, by his power, the conversions of hundreds of thousands of souls. And here in Southeast Asia, we are the beneficiaries of the revival that took place then, that caused men to be consecrated to the work of the gospel, so that the message of the truth of the gospel continues on in this land the last 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And we thank the Lord that we are an offshoot, a little offshoot, a little fruit of the gospel endeavor. And we thank God that there is a witness for him. The Apostle Paul is predicting the day when Israel would be restored to her former glory as a nation under Jesus Christ. She would be a great blessing to all the nations of the world. Until now, that has not happened yet. But it will be fulfilled in a time soon. You see, as you think about it, all the events leading up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, given in Matthew chapter 24, is fulfilled before our very eyes. The bickering of nations, the frequency, increased frequency of earthquakes, of pestilences. We haven't had it so severe as what we are facing now. The alternate lifestyle, for the first time, the days of Lot has dawned upon this world. And it's just in the past few years this is happening. Whether in America, whether in India, whether it is in the European nations, laws are being passed to allow the alternate lifestyle how sad it is that these things are happening, and yet you know that these are the signs leading up to the Lord's coming again. And how near we are. Do you realize that we may have time no more? If you have loved ones who are still outside the kingdom of God, now is the time to reach out to them. Well, we need to sit them down and we need to say to them that there may be time no more. Heaven and hell, death is the separation. We may not have another day to share the good news with them. And you know, the judgment of hellfire is such a great torment. This week we had the privilege of meeting an elderly gentleman, 92 years old, to share the word with him, to speak to him. Family members have been praying for him for many decades, many years. Well, we are thankful to God that he confessed the Lord. The Lord moved his heart. But just last night, I received another call that his faith seemed to waver. There are those around him, surrounding him, that is trying to bring an alternative gospel, an alternative way of salvation, trying to confuse him. And so we are praying, God be merciful to protect this soul. And you would realize that heaven and hell is so real. And we have not realized the precarious situation the world is in. How many souls are moving headlong to destruction. And yet we have not seen a kind of urgency in our hearts, a kind of urgency in the lives of our people, towards the soul of the people around us who are perishing. Dear friends, do you realize that time is short and God's judgment is coming? And then when judgment comes, we have time no more. And while we have time, may God be merciful to use us. When our Lord Jesus Christ would return, the Bible calls this the taking away of the church, the rapture. When our Lord would receive his church to glory, well, we said that the signs are all before us. How much time do we have left? There will be a time of separation that is coming. Are we aware of the situation, the signs of the time? The Bible tells us that towards the time of the Lord's coming, the faith of many shall wax cold. There would be a kind of a dryness that is in the church. But the time of reckoning is coming, and the Lord wants his people to realize. The Apostle Paul is predicting that when Israel be restored to a former glory as a nation under Christ. So when Christ returns, he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. And the church will be taken away to glory. Before God will judge this earth by a 7-year tribulation, a judgment that is so great upon the unbelieving of this earth. And the Lord will take away His church. Daniel, in his prophecy, spoke of the restoration of Israel. And this is recorded in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You notice that our world is moving towards another Babel? Do you see it around you? A one world government, a one world system. There is a movement by which all this is taking place. You see a great consolidation of global conglomerates, just a few companies having a monopoly of all the access to the resources of the world, to the markets of the world. Well, we are in those times. We have satellite technology. Well, perhaps that's the only way, when Christ comes, the whole world would be able to see Him. Right? It will be beamed to every household. We are living in those times. And Christ will reign on earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Man's kingdom will give way to God's kingdom. Israel shall be restored to the foremost nation status under Christ. What a glorious time. And today we see this, just this last week, how peace was brokered in the Middle East. A great breakthrough. The UAE and Israel signing a peace agreement. What is going on? Well, the Lord's coming is at the doors. Paul says in verse 13, "For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." The apostle Paul's calling is to be the messenger of the gospel to the Gentiles. And this was God's appointment, Christ's appointment for His life. And this is a record of Paul's call and how he was to carry that message to the world. Acts chapter 9 and verses 15 to 16. "The Lord said unto Ananias, Go thy way, for he," which is referring to Paul or Saul of Tarsus, "is a chosen vessel unto me," unto Christ, "to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." The Apostle Paul fulfilling his calling with distinction. God's grace abide with him. He's reminding his readers that he fulfilled his role as the apostle to the Gentiles. They have benefited from the blessings of the gospel through Paul's ministry. We thank the Lord that he allowed us to raise a witness here 6 years ago, coming to 7 years. And how every witness for God is a light to the local area, for the believers, for the souls that God would bring. How important it is. And like the Apostle Paul, you would notice that there will be a lot of disruptions that come. Persecutions, hostilities, oppositions. But the gospel will prevail. He was leading them to understand that he was part of God's redemption plan to carry the gospel torch in his lifetime. And we are given that mandate to carry the gospel torch in our lifetime. May God help us. We are partakers of gospel blessings. And why are we partakers of gospel blessings? Because many generations of Christians poured out their lives in sharing the gospel in their lifetime. We have been blessed because someone was willing to share the gospel with us. That's how I came to know the Lord. Someone was willing to spend time. Someone was willing to sit me down and read the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. The mystery of godliness, I suddenly understand. You suddenly understand. The light of the gospel came to you. And the Lord is saying to us here that we are indeed very privileged. Know of our high privilege of the gospel blessings that is given to us. And we must not forget our gospel debt. In other words, we owe to the Lord for saving us. And we have a debt to repay for what God has done for us and His commission to us. His mandate is that we would fulfill Christ's commission with distinction. If by any means, verse 14, he says, I may provoke the emulation to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. So Paul is speaking of his burden for the salvation of his beloved countrymen. Are you burdened for the salvation of your loved ones? Paul was very burdened by the salvation of his countrymen. And this week we were visiting this man. Family members were very concerned. Friends were concerned. So, you know, we took time enlarging our gospel tract, you know, the gospel tract that we have just printed. Large size, big picture, so that we can talk to him, share with him. This is what will be if you do not know Christ when you die. So we show him a picture of hell. And we gave him a story, a real true story of a man in Anhui in China, how he was in charge of a temple and God saved him, brought him to see heaven, brought him to see hell, and he realized, wow, how frightening these places are. And he returned. Right, before he left, he said to him, make sure you tell your mother, don't bury you. You will be back in 3 days. A true life story, a testimony of this man. And so we share the truth that heaven is real, that hell is real. And we try to bring that knowledge, that understanding to the perishing soul. Well, you never know when it's too late for someone. Someone can just go jogging and just collapse, and that's it. Too late. Well, the Lord is saying to us, Paul is saying to us, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are in the flesh, and might save some of them. So we said how important it is that we would put priority in the souls of men and women which are perishing. You see, that's the greatest security that we can have. And if we are sidetracked by the security of this life, you realize that we are going to pay a very high price. And God wants us to know, and God wants us to realize. And when we have understood the significance, the importance of the gospel, we would be like the deacon Stephen. He was willing to preach the gospel, and he was willing to be stoned to death. Paul witnessed it all. How is it that this man was willing to die for the gospel? Is he crazy? No, he was not. He understood that heaven is real, that hell is also real, and that death is a separation. He pleads, the Apostle Paul, with his audience, with the people, that they would hearken to his plea. You see, the Jews are a proud people because they have their spiritual heritage. They have a reason to be so for the high privilege that God had bestowed upon them. And the Apostle Paul likes his countrymen to see God's blessing upon the Gentiles, that it may jot them to faith in Christ. In other words, this gospel has gone out to the whole world through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and men and women are getting saved. And he's pointing them to those who are getting saved and saying to his own countrymen that, you know, the richness of God's blessing, we must not lose it. And I can see the Apostle Paul singing a hymn. This hymn written by Reverend Joseph Carlson. If you want joy, real joy. Well, this was what we sang to the elderly man after he said the sinner's prayer. We sang to him, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins he'll wash away. Your night he'll turn to day. He'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. The privilege, the high privilege of gospel blessings. We are called to be partakers, and we are called to be serious in this mandate that God has entrusted to us, because we will be held accountable to Him for what we have to do with the time that God has given us. May God help us to use our time wisely. Is there someone that you are praying for their salvation? Well, let us not just pray, but as the Spirit leads, may we act. And may the Lord bless us, that we may indeed be a witness for the Lord, and one will bring one, and another will bring another, and that's how there will be fruit in the life of God's people. May the Lord energize us, fill us with the Spirit, so that we can be fruitful for Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy presence. Comfort us and grant us Thy peace as we do Thy bidding. Strengthen us. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.